This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. This historic election will be won or lost in a handful of battleground states. John McCain hopscotched his way across 7 of these states yesterday. Barack Obama touched down in 3. We're going to check in with 3 reporters in the hotly contested states of North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Florida. But first, we're going to look at how some people are guarding against voting day problems. Wendy Weiser works for the Brennan Center for Justice. As its director of voting rights and elections, she's tracking election day voting trends and snafus. Hi, Wendy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So you and your colleagues, a small army of them, are standing by in a call center talking to people in polling places across the country. So what kind of calls are you getting and from what parts of the country?
We are getting calls, over 150,000 calls already since early voting across the country. We are seeing the number one problem we're seeing across the country are voter registration problems, registered voters just not showing up on the voter rolls. The next in line and most visible problem are machine failures in many jurisdictions, leading to extremely long lines for voters. And so those are the top two problems. We're seeing other problems as well, some absentee ballot problems, some student voting problems, and some deceptive practices on the misinformation being provided to voters.
Are you seeing any geographic trends in where these problems are showing up?
You know, the number one hotspot right now is Virginia. Virginia, from the beginning of the day, has been experiencing widespread problems. The polling places opened late. Machines across the state were breaking down, and there were ballot shortages, and there have been no real contingency plans in place, no emergency paper ballots available. The lines have been around the block. So that's been a real, you know, serious hotspot in the country. The battleground states are sending in many more complaints, both of registration problems and of long lines. And so we are getting that from the battleground states. Florida and Pennsylvania, New Jersey, North Carolina, Missouri, Colorado are big hotspots, and Michigan and Georgia as well.
What should states have done, or could states have done, to be more prepared for moments and contingencies like this?
You know, there are really, you know, two big reforms that, you know, appear to be needed coming out of this election. The first is the voter registration system. You know, there are a lot of cracks in our voter registration system, and it's the single biggest source of problems. And so going forward, we need to get a standard voter registration system in which the government automatically registers all eligible voters. They're permanently on the rolls. That's, you know, the top reform. It would also eliminate a lot of the partisan and nonpartisan wrangling about who gets to vote before the election. So that's really the top reform. They also need to be contingency plans available for Election Day, and we're seeing, you know, the failures in the states that did not have those contingency plans. We need to have emergency paper ballots made available and then other contingency plans to be able to move resources to where there are machine failures or long lines to be able to address that so voters don't have to wait in line 6, 7, 10 hours to vote.
Has this election with the massive amounts of early voting been a success specifically on that level? Do you think early voting has helped overall with these issues, or is it, you know, just sort of half of one, half of the other?
Early voting has alleviated some of the congestion on Election Day in the states that had early voting. The early voting, we actually saw a long, long lines in a number of states in early voting, and we saw that in Florida. We saw that in Virginia. So early voting itself had some of the same problems we're seeing on Election Day today. But the states that do have a lot of early voters are experiencing less congestion now than they would have. We have a system that is not necessarily ready to handle as big a turnout as we're seeing this year. And, you know, overall, that's a huge success for democracy, but we have not brought our system up to speed to be able to handle all American voters that want to show up.
Well, Wendy, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Wendy Weiser. She's Director of Voting Rights and Elections at the Brennan Center for Justice. And now we're going to take a look at some of the key states on the election map. Both presidential candidates campaigned hard in North Carolina over the weekend. The state has gone red for 9 out of the 10 elections in the past, but recent polls show a dead heat. Dave DeWitt is the Raleigh Bureau Chief for North Carolina Public Radio. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
So, 4 years ago, President Bush swept the southern states, and this time around, North Carolina is in play for the Democratic ticket. You've been out visiting some polling places, so what's the feeling on the ground in your state?
There's a great deal of enthusiasm, not just for the candidates, but for the fact that North Carolina is in play. You know, this is a state that's been ignored pretty much by any presidential candidate of the last 9 or 10 elections, as you mentioned. So just being in play is really exciting for people. But also it's a little tiring. You know, we're not used to all the negative ads at that level being played so heavily here this time of year. So we're seeing a lot of those, and a lot of people are getting a little bit tired, and they're ready to cast their vote and have this campaign end.
Well, you talked to a first-time voter at Shaw University in Raleigh named Natika Green, and here's what she told you when you caught up to her in the rain on the way to her polling place.
I'm excited. It's the first time I can do it, and I'm doing it in a momentous election. But the wait is over. It's like waiting for Christmas Day, you know?
Have you been finding a lot of excitement on the part of voters?
Absolutely. We saw it a lot last week when early voting, especially when it was coming down to the end of the early voting period at the end of last week, we saw a lot of enthusiasm. And we're seeing it a lot today. As a, you know, matter of fact, that young woman and a lot of her student classmates at Shaw University were voting at the Chavis Community Center in Raleigh. And, you know, this is a particular area in North Carolina is very heavy with universities in Durham and Chapel Hill and in NC State. And so you're seeing a lot of excitement from young people, but you're seeing it matched, I think, by other generations, and that's something that doesn't get picked up as much elsewhere. We're seeing a lot of enthusiasm for this election. It is a toss-up in this state. We're seeing enthusiasm on both sides.
Now, in 2004, African Americans in North Carolina were about 17% of the early voting population. This time around, 26%. Are you seeing evidence of a groundswell of black voting in general, African Americans voting in general? And, you know, how does this early voting play out?
Well, that's absolutely true. And what we're seeing is that the Barack Obama candidate and process here on the ground has really done a remarkable job of getting the vote out, not only in sort of the urban centers of Raleigh and Durham and Charlotte, Winston-Salem and Greensboro, but we're seeing it in the rural areas as well, particularly outside of Fayetteville. You know, Fayetteville's an interesting area because it's adjacent to Fort Bragg, a heavy-duty military establishment. And what you're seeing in that area when Barack Obama had his rally there a couple of weeks ago, he had to turn away about 4,000 people, and he had 10,000 people in the arena. 10 days later, John McCain had his rally in the same building and had about 6,000 fewer people. And right after that rally, Barack Obama's rally, they led a bunch of people right over to vote for the first time. So you're seeing not only a lot of interest and passion among the African-American voting population here, but as we've seen at Shaw University and other places, a lot of first-time African-American voters.
Well, Dave, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
That was Dave DeWitt, Raleigh Bureau Chief for North Carolina Public Radio, and he joined us from the studios of WUNC in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. So now let's go to the country's northeast. The McCain campaign has said Pennsylvania is his key to winning the election, but that state has gone to the Democrats for the last 20 years. On the ground in Philadelphia, we have reporter Joel Rose. Hi, Joel.
Hi.
So Pennsylvania is one of those states that didn't have early voting in person. Are you seeing long lines at the polls today?
Yes, we're seeing reports of heavy turnout all over the Delaware Valley, over in New Jersey, in some of the suburban counties outside Philadelphia, and in the city itself. And some of the most worrisome things, I guess, are reports that are coming from election watchdogs in Philadelphia who reported some very long lines during morning rush hour due at least in part to broken voting machines at some polling places. And there's no question that, you know, the high turnout is a bit of a strain on the system here. But, you know, supporters of Barack Obama had cautioned folks to be ready for long lines at the polls. And so far, you know, I think people seem to be waiting pretty patiently.
Now, the Real Clear Politics poll had Obama up 7% heading into Election Day in Pennsylvania, but the McCain campaign has been fighting very hard. What are you seeing, or what did you see in terms of the candidates really paying attention to your state?
Well, John McCain spent a lot of time here and a lot of money, and which is sort of surprising for a state that, as you said at the beginning, has gone to the Democrats in the last four presidential elections. But, you know, the margins here have not been that huge. 4 years ago, John Kerry won the state by only 144,000 votes. So John McCain has been spending lots of time here. His campaign made four Pennsylvania stops just in the last 3 days of the campaign alone. I guess they sense an opportunity here, or perhaps they just don't see another way to get to 270 electoral votes without Pennsylvania's 21.
We were just hearing from a report from North Carolina talking about the importance of the black vote in that state. Any sense of how important African-American voters are in your state?
Well, Pennsylvania, as James Carville once famously observed, is it consists of Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, and it's Alabama in between. And there's always a tension in the state between the reliably kind of Democratic vote in the big cities and the urban areas, and a lot of that is an African-American vote, and then you have a much more conservative kind of rural vote in the mountains and the farmland in between. So, you know, the Pennsylvania statewide politics are always a tension between the cities and the rural areas. Lately, the big difference has been in the fast-growing areas of the state, places like the Lehigh Valley and in the Philadelphia suburbs, and that has been tilting the balance of power a little bit, sort of breaking that stalemate. And, you know, and the other thing, we always see high turnout in Philadelphia for the Democrats, and it may be even higher this year with an African-American at the top of the ticket.
Well, Joel, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
That was Philadelphia-based reporter Joel Rose. And for our final swing state check-in, we're turning to Florida, the site of the showdown in Election 2000. Nyla Boodoo is a multimedia reporter with the Miami Herald. Hi, Nyla.
Hi.
So you've been out to polling places in Miami, and what's the mood so far among voters?
Well, the mood's pretty, you know, actually things are fairly calm. People are finding that so many people did the early voting. In fact, about one in four registered voters in Miami-Dade and Broward and throughout the state cast their votes early. So people are actually finding that the lines are actually shorter today.
What's the mood emotionally among folks?
I think people are very excited. I spoke to a couple people who said they were just really, even when they were waiting in line to vote, even if it was just a half hour, they said they would wait for hours because they're really thinking that this is a very important election. Many people use the word historic because they really feel like this is a turning point for the country. And they were just excited to be able to cast their votes.
Well, you talked to a bunch of voters, including a McCain supporter by the name of Mike Aguirre. Here's a little bit of what he had to say.
The process and the integrity of the process is more important than whoever the candidate is. So I believe that, obviously I want John McCain to win. I'm a huge supporter of John McCain and Sarah Palin. I'm hopeful that they will win. But at the end of the day, I hope that the election ends on November 4th. Everything seems very peaceful. Everything seems very running smoothly. Now, again, it's just early in the day, so I don't know how things will be going out across the country, but I think today we'll know who the winner will be.
After the 2000 election, there were a lot of Americans who felt that the process of elections were flawed. Mike seems very confident that this election is going to be fair. Do you get the sense that other voters that you've spoken with feel the same way?
I think the term probably people would be cautiously optimistic that things would be fair this time. I think that's why there were so many early voters, because everyone kept hearing if there are problems, you should vote early. That way there'll be time to resolve things. So I think there is a sense this time that this election will be a fair process.
You've also been reporting on the participation of the West Indian community. And what are you seeing there?
It's an interesting thing that we've seen among the West Indian community here, among Caribbean Americans from Jamaica, Trinidad, people from Haiti. They're really finding that there's a much higher level of involvement in the American political process than they've ever seen before. I was down this weekend at a South Dade field office for Barack Obama, and they've actually, one of the leaders of one of the local Caribbean newspapers donated her newspaper space so they could use it as a field office. And that office was full of people from Trinidad and Jamaica who were saying that they really felt engaged in the American political process for the first time. We're even hearing, I was speaking to a Jamaican American lawyer yesterday morning who was telling me that Ambassadors from Haiti and from Trinidad and Jamaica are seeing unprecedented levels of American citizens on those islands requesting absentee ballots because they really wanted to make sure that their vote counted in this election.
Has there been any talk, perhaps in the local media, of how other demographic groups in Miami are feeling about this election? I mean, one of the things that's so remarkable about Miami is that you have high population of Jewish Americans, high population of Cuban Americans, you've got black folks, white folks, everything. Any sense of how other folks in that mix are looking at this election?
Well, I think there's another important demographic in Miami as well, as the Hispanic population isn't just Cuban. There are people from Argentina. There are people from Colombia. There are people from Venezuela. And all of those people tend to vote in different ways. So it would be wrong to assume that they are one voting bloc that votes just Republican.
Overall, when you look at Miami and when you look at Florida in general, what role do you think it is going to play in the 2008 election? We know what it played in 2000, but what role does Florida have in this election?
I think people are very excited about the turnout that they've seen so far, and I think people are thinking that these numbers will make a huge difference in the way Florida is voting. I've spoken to many Barack supporters who say that they're just really excited about, I think the phrase they use is they have a bucket of blue paint that they have ready to paint the state blue. So that's what many people here are saying in Miami.
Do you have any expectations that there could be crowds that take to the street, which is something that we're going to talk about that's a concern in some parts of the country?
The police have said that they are here and that they are ready and on standby for any kind of disturbances or celebrations that they have. So I think certainly in terms of the authorities, they are prepared for whatever may happen today or this evening.
Well, Nyla, great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Nyla Boudou, a multimedia reporter with the Miami Herald, and she joined us from the studios of the Miami Herald.